Team Time.
Hi, welcome to Team Time. I'm your host, Debbie Waith, and I'm here to share with you a series of podcasts aimed at supporting those leading and in teams. I'm going to share my personal story as a woman who has led many teams in large organisations and in several countries. I've also been coaching leaders and teams for over 10 years, and I'll draw on this experience to support your journey as a leader and all the other hats that you might wear. In this series, dedicated to the pandemic, we've talked about leading in uncertainty and our relationship with control. And this week, I wanted to reflect on what motivates us and what happens to our motivation during periods of such uncertainty. Before we get into motivation, I did want to start with a thank you to all those that have got in touch and shared your experience with me from the first two episodes of Team Time that launched this week. A number of you have shared how this concept of homing has resonated with you. And indeed, I find something that apparently the Canadian federal government have issued in terms of to their staff COVID-19 guiding principles. And one of them is you are not working from home. You are at your home during a crisis trying to work. And that for me, you know, just seemed to sum up the distinction that I have made in terms of, you know, we may be at home working, but this isn't working from home. This isn't what we used to know and enjoy by that occasional Friday often, where we could, you know, take advantage of quietness, certainly the familiarity of our own surroundings. And, you know, if we're honest, probably getting on with a job or two that we couldn't otherwise do until the weekend. And this situation isn't that. This is the multitude of trying to juggle not just our roles, but boundaries. And as somebody said, even the hierarchy of what happens in our home and by whom and how that changes the shape of our relationships. If I could share with you one particular feedback that I received that I just thought was really thoughtful. And this listener says, it's almost as if we have to reincarnate ourselves for the new demands of the situation. Periods of flux lay bare our vulnerabilities, our trigger points and reactivity, and that when we have the courage to learn with those vulnerabilities and to get curious about our experience, there lie opportunities for self-understanding, creativity and growth. And actually, this same person said, for the first time, she had felt heard during this period. I hope that by sharing my experience with you, it will give you an opportunity to reflect on both your life and your life in leadership. And some of the experience will resonate and some won't. And I hope it will give you the opportunity to feel heard, at least starting with yourself. And I look forward to continuing the conversation with you. So as we turn our attention to motivation, I shared with you last week, I'd had one of those weeks where I'd dipped into the valley. I felt overwhelmed and a little confused to know what was the right next move or what to think, really. And I think it was exacerbated by the sense that there was a longevity to what lay ahead. It wasn't a short-term fix that I or others could do. There was something about settling into this new way of being. And it made me reflect on what were my motivations during this period, or what was motivating me, or where was I being sapped of energy? So I was intrigued to explore a little more about motivation and how it shows up for us, ourselves and in our team. When I started to consider the topic of motivation, I was reminded of a survey that was conducted by Apolitical in March to April of this year. And it was a survey that involved 750 public servants in Canada, the UK, the US and Australia. So a small number of public service, given in the UK itself, we have over 400,000 public servants. But interesting nonetheless, in that it summarised six things that public servants supposedly needing most in those admittedly early weeks of COVID-19. So of those surveyed, 60% felt there were personal well-being challenges coming from working remotely. And it was talked around juggling work and childcare, and specifically about maintaining their own motivation and productivity and helping the motivation and productivity within their teams. And of the operation and management challenges within that survey, the number one at 60% was around motivation and productivity while remote working. And I just think, as much as there is a lot of studies and theories and research around motivation, which I'm going to park as a general topic for now, it is something we'll come back to in one of the normal, if you like, or more settled time series. Because my interest now in this series related to the pandemic is what happens in crisis when we're working remotely to our motivation. There's an article in the April edition of the Harvard Business Review by Lindsay McGregor and Neil Doshi, and they talk specifically about what motivates people and the impact on motivation when working from home. Now, this study wasn't done during the pandemic. In fact, it was done between 2010 and 2015. But it's a sizable study, having surveyed more than 20,000 workers globally, crossing 50 major companies. And what they were interested in included how much impact working from home had on motivation. And the headline from their research was that working from home was less motivating, and it was further exacerbated when people had no choice in where they worked, which of course resonates for us now during the pandemic, when most of us still are remaining working from home. In fact, when there was no choice from the working from home, motivation dropped 17 points. So from one of what would have been scored as one of the best cultures in the industries surveyed to one of the worst. From the surveys, the authors identified three negative or detractors from motivation and three positive attractors. And I just wanted to share them with you because, again, one of the reasons that I was drawn to this is that they really resonate for the situation that we're in just now, and most likely are being exaggerated. So to start with the detractors, the things that lead to reduced productivity or work performance, were emotional pressure, economic pressure, and inertia. And I just want you to take a minute here to reflect for yourself whether you felt an increase in emotional pressure or a change in the economic pressure that you have felt, or indeed an inertia for work in this last few months. I know I can certainly relate to emotional pressure and economic pressure. You know, circumstances are such that emotionally it feels more fragile and unclear. It feels more important than ever to be connected, and yet it feels less clear than ever how to connect well with people. Certainly, there is also a sense of economic pressure. You know, what's the future for within our home team? Certainly has been an increased focus on finances in the last few months. And inertia, I'm not sure that this one lands quite as clearly for me. But in many ways, my work is about change and uncertainty. And so I think I've been drawn into that. But I can see how people do feel somewhat lost in the situation, and that relate to or interact with their focus on their work. I'd like to ask you to consider whether you've felt any change in emotional pressure, economic pressure, or inertia, whether in relation to yourself or those in your team, whether that be a work team or a home team. So if those are the factors that negatively affect our motivation, what did they find in relation to the things that helped? Well, interestingly, the three things that they find that helped build motivation are things that are possibly in danger of either being missed or sidestepped or disappeared during a crisis. The first of them, they describe as play. And I think my understanding of what they mean by play is the interaction and they say the joy of problem solving with a colleague, or the ease of making a decision when you're actually in the room and you can read body language and you can understand and influence, if you like, a decision, which is often far harder when we're trying to do it remotely. For me, there's something that's not quite captured in the word play, but I think is in this area, and that relates to connection. For me, I think the sense or perception of not feeling connected, perhaps not feeling heard or not feeling valued, can either act as an attractor positively or a detractor. And at this point, I certainly have heard it from a number of clients and coachees who are struggling to feel heard through this period. And so I think where play is the positive, you know, the joy of working together, I would round that out and actually describe it as much as our ability to connect through this period. The second point that they make, and this is, you know, a huge topic that has had a lot of attention in the last few years in particular, and that's purpose. And purpose meaning with real clarity as to what our work is and how it relates to, you know, what's happening around us, that we have a sense of why we're here, why it makes a difference, and our value within that. In many ways, it's our ability to make meaning of our role in this situation. There really is an opportunity to take a step back and to check in with the clarity of the purpose of your team through this period, and allow people to find their own connection with the role of your team, their role within the team during this period. And the final point that they identified as a positive attractor to motivation was in relation to potential and people having access to colleagues that they could learn from, resources that supported their development during this period. And of course, we all recognise that budgets for development are unlikely to be enlarged during this period. In fact, most of them will have been significantly decreased or removed altogether. But there is something about supporting people in their development during this period, because this is hard and we're trying to understand how to do it well. And that takes reflection and feedback and learning. I want to end today asking you a few questions. How motivated are you just now? And what if you turn to consider your team members, whether they be at home or in the workplace? What is it that either inspires or depletes motivation in you and in them? What choices do you have or can you provide to others in how you work, if not where you work? It may not feel wholly in our control to influence how someone perceives emotional or economic pressures, but it does feel far more in our scope to be able to influence how people connect, the clarity of purpose that we offer, the opportunity to inquire into in our teams, and the focus that we put on the development and potential of our team members, even and perhaps as a consequence of the pandemic. It may well be that we do need greater support during this period, and it may well be that we'll need to learn some new skills. So provide both yourself and others the opportunity to reflect on What is it that they want for themselves through this period? And what will motivate them? Motivating your team members and motivating yourself can only lead not just to greater productivity. You know, we hope that for that in an organization, but what we really want is to be doing work that's meaningful and enjoyable and that feels like we've made a difference. So how well do you understand your motivation and that of your teams? You might want to consider through the rhythm of the meetings that you have with your team, where do you put your time and focus? Is it typically only on operational updates, or does it allow an opportunity to look beyond? Perhaps it would be an interesting conversation to explore with your team what motivates them and how clear they feel on the purpose of their team and their roles within it. Perhaps you could consider how much time you give within your teams to reflect, or to the quality of your team connection in relation to the clarity of your team purpose and their role within it, and in relation to the performance of your team, both at an operational and tactical level, but also looking beyond and at a strategical level. And finally, how well you support each other's potential. And remember, motivation isn't a permanent state. You're not aiming for some unreachable nirvana, just as people talk about engagement and happiness. These aren't things that will be permanent and stable. They'll have fluctuations. Motivation is temporary. It may even be fleeting moments. Perhaps it would be of interest to you to keep a track on how you are feeling each day and through the weeks, and see if there's any pattern in the things that lift you or that you find can bring you down or disconnect you from feeling as motivated. As I've said before, this isn't an easy time, and there isn't a roadmap or a set of instructions that anyone can give you to follow that will be right for you or for your team. And so you're feeling your way in this, and I'd encourage you to stay as connected and as interested in what's happening for yourself and for your team, to best support both yourself and your team. And to step into that with kindness for yourself and with kindness for others. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I wish you, as ever, a hopeful and helpful week ahead. If you want to share your thoughts on this episode or ask me any questions, please get in touch on Instagram or Twitter, where you can find me under debbie.waif. I'll be posting a podcast every Tuesday, and I hope you'll subscribe to Team Time to join us each week. For now, thanks for listening, and I wish you a hopeful and helpful week ahead. Goodbye.
Subscribe to Team Time.